decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host. Good to have you with us here on this Tuesday, the 19th of October. Almost Halloween. Hope you got your costume ready. And just joking about that, but I want to say I'm not one of these guys who's really down on Halloween. I had fond memories of Halloween growing up as a kid in the 1960s and early 70s, and it was a different time. I understand that, but it never really struck me as this dark time. I mean, it was a time to dress up, go around and see the neighbors and get candy and, you know, maybe tell a few scary ghost stories around the campfire or something, but it was not some dark, demonic, oppressive time. And I understand all the stuff, but I guess I'm just not a legalist about that stuff. So if you're going to celebrate Halloween, just have fun, you know, stay away from the darker element. I mean, everything has darker elements. Look at how many people just go out and get drunk and have all sorts of problems at Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff. You know, it's not the holiday. It's what you do with it. And the human heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. And so it's amazing what we can twist to be ugly and evil. I mean, look at what's happened to spring break. That was a time for students to go home and spend Easter with their families. And this anti-God culture that we live in has turned it into a complete bacchanalia on the beach. So it's what you do with it, not what its original purpose was, I guess. Just some random thoughts. Good to have you with us today. Squirrel Chatter is part of the Christian podcast community. I'm glad to have you with us. Head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.com. Check out all the other podcasts that are over there. I was just listening. Now I got to look at the show. I was just listening this morning to a wonderful interview with my friend Michael Vlock, Dr. Mike Vlock, who is at Shepherd's Seminary and was at the Master's Seminary for 15 years. And he has done an interview on, what's the name of the show? I'm not sure. I was listening to it on the ChristianPodcastCommunity.com stream where you can download all of the Christian Podcast Community shows, but unfortunately the stream doesn't say which show this was. So I would have to actually go, let me see if it's in the afternoon notes. It's Jeremy and Ken, but I'm not sure what the show is. I will have to, it's got all the show notes and everything, so you got all the links and stuff, but I don't have the title of the show. So I'll find that. Sorry, Mike. Sorry, guys. But it is at thechristianpodcastcommunity.com. You can find it. I guess probably search for Michael Vlock interview. But he's got a new book out on, it's been out for a while. I got it over the summer on the Old Testament, New Testament use of the Old Testament and some good stuff. Goes a good companion volume to the one that Abner Chow wrote several years ago, also on the New Testament writers' use of the Old Testament. Helpful stuff in helping you to understand and grasp the way in which the Old Testament was used and the fact that it was actually a consistent literal hermeneutic. Good stuff. Yesterday, we started talking about education. And I want to keep that topic going this week. I'm not going to get as far on it today as I had originally intended. But it's basically because my classwork at GBTS is rightfully occupying my time and attention. And so my notes on education for the rest of the week, I put a bunch of stuff together over the weekend, but I hadn't organized it. And I didn't really have time to do that yesterday. And so it's still a jumbled mess. So hopefully we'll advance the topic a little bit tomorrow. But just to give a little bit of review of what I talked about yesterday, I said that I no longer believe that the vast majority of public schools are really a viable option for the education of Christian children. And by Christian children, I don't mean children that have made a profession of faith. I mean the children of Christians. The God desires for his people to raise up godly offspring. It says that in Malachi 5. That's the purpose of marriage. One of the prime purposes of marriage is to raise up godly offspring. And that's the responsibility of the parent. And yesterday we looked at Deuteronomy 6 and how it's, you know, talk about these things as you rise up, as you lay down, as you go in, and as you go out, basically all the time. You're sitting down at the dinner table, talk about the things of God. If you're walking down the street, talk about the things of God. Teach your kids constantly the things of God so that they will understand and they will grow in their knowledge and in their walk with God and their appreciation of God and all that God has done for us. That's the parents' responsibility. Our school system is not designed to affirm biblical values. It's not even designed to affirm traditional American values. As you know, I substitute teach at the junior high and high school level in our local school district. And last year, I was substituting for the teacher in an American government class. And just in talking to the students and stuff, of course, you know, when you're a substitute teacher, you're not making your own lesson plans. You go in, you do what the teacher has prepared for the class. But government students are seniors, and I knew these seniors well because I've been around them for years. And we were just sitting around talking during a little bit of open time in the class, and I asked them, had they looked at the Federalist Papers? Had they read the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence? This is an American government class. Now, when I was in high school, back in the early 80s, taking American government, our primary texts were the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Federalist Papers, at least as far as the early part of the course, as we understood then we looked at the later development of our government and all the different bureaucracies and stuff like that. But the core of the curriculum was the founding documents, the Declaration of Independence. Why did we break away from Great Britain? We looked at the Articles of Confederation, which were the original governing documents of the United States before the Constitutional Convention of 1787, in which the Constitution, which is on the wall here behind me, was written. And the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, which was the writings of those who drafted the Constitution urging its passing. The Federalist Papers are the writers of the Constitution explaining what the Constitution means. Hugely important. And we read the Anti-Federalist Papers, which were the essays that were written against the ratification of the Constitution by those who opposed it for various reasons. And so we looked at those, and we examined their beliefs, and we examined their arguments, and that was the whole, you know, that was really our government class when I was in high school. Talking to these students last year, they had no clue what the Federalist Papers were. It's not even on the curriculum. Why? Because our school system is not designed to pass on traditional American values. I think it's on purpose. I think an ignorant population, and yes, yeah, I said that deliberately, an ignorant population is easier to control. If you don't know the theories of government, and if you don't know what makes tyranny tyrannical, if you don't know what the government of the United States is supposed to be and what American values are supposed to be, it's easier to pull the wool over your eyes and tell you that this is America. This is what our founders intended, when it absolutely isn't. So yes, I believe it is absolutely intentional. Our school system is not designed to affirm traditional values. It's not designed to affirm biblical values. It's designed to subvert them. It's training to obey. It's training to follow. It's not training to succeed. One of my favorite Vodi Bakum quotes is, "We cannot continue to send our children to Caesar for their education and be surprised when they come home as Romans." Think about that. We want to pass on our views. We want to pass on our beliefs. We want to pass on our values to our children and our grandchildren. I'm a grandfather now. We want to pass on those values to the next generations, and we're working at odds with the schools we're sending them to. So why are we sending them to the schools? In the United States, we have a choice. We have religious schooling, we have homeschooling, where we can have our children educated in such a way that it affirms our values and beliefs, not subverts them. In other countries, they don't have that. It's against the law to homeschool your kids in Germany. It's against the law to homeschool your kids in France. I'm not sure what Britain's laws are. I know Britain has a long tradition of private schools and stuff, so it's probably still possible. I know you could at least find a... I don't know what the religious education is like in Germany or France. I imagine France would have a lot of Catholic schools. I'd have to, you know, look into that. But in America, we have the right to educate our children. I think we have the right to educate our children everywhere, because that's the God-given responsibility of the parents. And when the government says you can't educate your children, we have to do it for you. That is blatantly against what God has written. And that's where we say we obey God rather than men. I'm on a warpath today without any notes. So, but as I said, our school system is by design. Horace Mann in the 1800s and John Dewey in the early 1900s are the primary architects of our school system. They were both atheists. They designed our schools to be atheist. Let me give you this quote from John Dewey, just as a foretaste of where we're going. John Dewey said, "There is no God, and there is no soul. Hence, there is no need for the props of traditional religion. With dogma and creed excluded, then immutable truth is dead and buried. There is no room for fixed or natural law or permanent moral absolutes." So according to John Dewey, if there are no permanent moral absolutes, murder may be wrong today, but it's fine tomorrow. Murder may be wrong in Walmart, but it's perfectly okay in the womb. You see where this worldview goes? You know, dogma and creed are excluded, I guess, except for the dogma that there is no God. This is something that people really don't think about too much. Both Mann and Dewey, almost 100 years apart, they both wanted education to be secular. Now, secularism is in itself a religion. People don't think about this, but consider this. Atheism is a religious belief. The question, is there a God, is a religious question. Therefore, however you answer that question is a religious answer. If you say there is a God, that's a religious answer. If you say there is no God, that's a religious answer. And so atheists have religious beliefs. Secularism is a religious worldview. It's a godless, atheist, materialistic worldview, but it's a religious worldview. And our education system is designed to be secular, which means it teaches the atheist religion. Not every teacher is an atheist. Probably not even every textbook author is an atheist. But the system is atheist. We're talking about systemic atheistism. I have to work on that. I like that, though. That might be something that we use from now on. Once I determine how to pronounce it. Okay, so that's kind of where we're going, just to give you a taste of what's coming up on Squirrel Chatter, that we will be getting to that education. And, of course, we got Theology Thursday coming up. We're going to be looking again at the some bits of the 1689 Confession. And who knows, when we finish going through the 1689, we may go through the Belgic Confession. We may go through the 39 Articles of the Anglican Church. There's a lot of good Reformed statements of belief, even without getting into the thick tomes of theology. Just looking at the 1689, looking at the Belgic, looking at and in looking at the 1689, we're really looking at the Westminster, a baptized version of the Westminster Confession. That's Thursday, Theology Thursday. So stay tuned for that. Tomorrow, like I said, I hope to have a little bit more about Horace Mann and about John Dewey. So we'll see where that goes. Today I've got classes again tonight, and I've got a bunch of stuff I need to do before class. So as soon as I'm done with the podcast, I'm going to be turning my computer off and trying to get rid of all distractions, because I got work to do and it needs to be done. And I'll tell you, this is something. I'm dyslexic. So reading it's not a chore. I enjoy reading. Once I learned to read, I had a hard time learning to read. I had to repeat the first grade because they would not pass me on until I learned to read. So I did the first grade twice. Which is fine. No problem. I actually appreciate it. That was back when schools wouldn't pass you on if you didn't know the curriculum. So, and the curriculum in the first grade was you had to be able to read. And that was a requirement for moving on to second grade. So I got to do first grade twice. And the summer between my first grade and my first grade year, my mom, who was a school teacher, first grade teacher, actually not in my class. She was across the hall. They wouldn't put students in the same classroom as their parents for various reasons. So I was across the hall while she was teaching first grade across the hall, and I was in Mrs. Allen's class. And so, you know, I haven't thought about her in forever. That's my first grade teacher. That's a name that just popped up. But the summer between my first grade year and my repeating my first grade year, mom got me into some, I don't even know the name of it. It was a summer one-on-one education facility, learning center thing, where I got one-on-one instruction for several hours a day, most days of the week. And, It ended when I could learn how to read, and my reward was the Hardy Boys Mystery Book, Volume 1, and I got to read that before school started, and that started, you know, you can see all the books behind me, that started a lifelong love affair with books. But I'm not a fast reader. I have to read each word individually. I cannot scan. That's one of the things in you know, how to read a book. They say, you know, you do a preliminary scan and then you go back and read. I can't scan. If I scan, I miss it. I don't get it. I have to go word by word and go through the book. So I tend to not scan books. I just tend to read them once, but it takes me a long time because I'm a slow reader. My wife says I'm a fast reader, but I'm a slow reader in my mind, at least in how to Nathan. Takes me a while to read, and I've got a lot of reading to do for school right now. And reading for school is completely different because you have a schedule. And even studying to learn stuff for the last three decades since I got out of college has always been at my own pace. So, you know, I don't have to have it read by Friday. If I get it read by Friday, cool. If I have to finish it by Tuesday, I'm okay with that. But with the school reading, I've got reports due. I've got assignments due. I've got, you know, things to get done. And so the reading has to be done at a much faster pace, more intensive pace than I've been used to in quite a while. So, that's what I'm going to be doing today. I'm going to shut out the world and stick my nose in a book and hopefully stick my nose in more than one book and not at the same time. Again, I'm part of the same dyslexic problem. I have to read one book at a time. I cannot be working my way through multiple books. It messes me up. So I have to sit down and read a book. And you know, I've still got books I need to read for my classes, and so I need to lose myself in my books today. All right, let's get with our reading today. We're going to be finishing up 2 Peter as we continue to work our way through the New Testament in the Legacy Standard Version. We are well on schedule to finish by the end of the year, which is what I desired to do when we started this. And hopefully by that point, we will have the Old Testament in the Legacy Standard Bible. And it is my plan at this point, with 3 more months left in the year, or 2.5 months, less than 2.5 months. Wow. With the little bit of time we have left in the year, it is my hope that next year we will start going through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible. And I've got a 5-day reading schedule, and we'll just stick with that and keep going with what we're going with. All right, let's get to it. I've been chattering on now for 20 minutes. We begin with our prayer for our leaders. O Lord, our governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the President of the United States and the governors of the several states, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Now our prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, again reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles, knowing this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being deluged with water. But by his word the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some consider slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be found out. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens burning will be destroyed, and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are looking for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And consider the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest you, having been carried away by the error of unprincipled men, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Well, this is the word of the Lord. I thank you for being with us today. Hope you have a busy day ahead. Whatever you do, let's see if I get it right today. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Do the things you ought to do. And whatever you do, do it all for the glory of the Lord. Thanks for being with us. Bless you, and see you later. Take care.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.